How much damage are we looking at when it comes to beach and dune erosion from this most recent storm?
We've been able to assess the damages along the ocean coast pretty thoroughly at most of the urban areas. There are areas that are kind of a little bit more remote than coming in downtown, coming into the beach at downtown Bethany, let's just say. So we've looked at the dunes at Bethany, South Bethany, Dewey, a little bit of the inlet, Rehoboth Beach, and by and large, we've experienced what we would consider to be what's expected, and that's a fair amount of dune erosion. People like myself in the business of beach management understand that dunes are a sacrificial feature, and what I mean by that is that when storms occur, the reach of waves will be into the dunes, and the sand within the dune itself will be eroded out, and it's spread by wave action along the bottom and brought out to a point where it actually trips waves further out to sea than they had been before. So it helps kill wave energy. And so we've got a fair amount of dune damage. Our fences that are along the toe of the dunes to keep people from walking all over the dunes have been lost. Dune erosion was in the magnitude of something in the order of roll up, like in Dewey Beach, water rolled up the face of the dune and rolled back down and really didn't erode the dune. So we go from basically zero dune erosion there to Bethany Beach, which may be about the worst, and maybe we've lost as much as 20, 25 feet of dune, something in that magnitude. We haven't actually gone out and measured yet, but time will tell, and some surveys will give us a little bit more information on that. But it's confined, the damages are confined to dune losses in the case of a couple of access ramps onto the beach where we have handicap access. We've had some damage to some of those, but that's been about it so far.
When these waves take a bite out of the coastline, do we know where the sand goes? It sounds like some of it is reintroduced into the system, but some of it might get kind of swept away back into the ocean.
It does. It does. It goes three possible directions, and in this storm, it only went two. The two areas that this storm carried sand was what we call a long shore, which is a self-describing term. It's parallel to the shoreline, and in this case, we have northeast winds at great velocity and waves coming in from the northeast, and sand will be carried by wave action and wave breaks. It picks the sand up, and it's in a water column, and as the water moves to the south, it carries that sand with it and eventually drops it off. So sand has moved from north to south in considerable volume through the whole coast of Delaware. At the same time, there's sand that's brought up in a breaking wave. It gets, you know what it's like. You stand there in active water and your pockets and your bathing suit are full of sand. Well, that's because there's all the sand in the water column. And some of that sand is carried back offshore out toward the outer point where the waves are breaking. And that's called cross shore movement. So it's longshore and cross shore movement. And it's the sand that has gone cross shore and out to sea to some location that may not return. Delaware's net effect of sand movement is actually from south to north. And so we are putting sand back to the south, and it will eventually move its way from south to north and end up either at Indian River Inlet, where we might bypass it over, or at the tip of Cape Henlopen, where that's the end of the conveyor belt from a south to north transport net flow that we have in the state. So a north storm like this, we have a big sand sink in Indian River Inlet. Any sand that came to the inlet might have been swept around the end of the rocks or through the rocks, and it's jetted back and forth by the inlet itself, so we lose sand there. We can lose sand eventually at Cape Henlopen Point, but those are the two points where we mostly lose sand in Delaware.
I know it's still pretty early, but do you maybe know what we could expect in terms of the cost of replacing or replenishing these dunes?
No idea. Yeah, we have to quantify, how many miles of fence we've lost. We have to quantify how much sand we have lost. One of the good news items is that the Corps of Engineers had already scheduled to come into Dewey and Rehoboth later this year. Actually, it'll be past the calendar year at this point, but there's money available this year to re-nourish that beach area. So anything lost in the storm will be counted on. We'll count on the Corps of Engineers replacing that material. We have to wait another year at this point for Bethany and South Bethany, but that's the current schedule. So we're not too far away in either one of those.
What's the cost-benefit analysis, and what's the replenishment schedule like for the state?
The replenishment schedule with the cooperative Corps of Engineers state project is every 3 years for those two projects, which representing the four communities. Fenwick Island is a little bit more spaced out. I think it's either 4 or 5 years. I think Lewis is 5 years, and Broadkill, we don't know what that's going to end up being. Those are all of our federal projects, and the benefit that comes back from these projects in storm damage savings I don't know what the actual number is, but it's a ratio that's better than 1-to-1. It has to be for the federal in interest in these projects. In order for the federal government to be participating, it has to be a very favorable return in a singular category, and that is storm damage loss reduction. And so the Corps of Engineers calculates what's exposed. There's infrastructure exposure, there's boardwalk exposure, there's housing exposure, there's any number of buildings that are covered by federal flood insurance. And so they look at what the federal government's savings would be by conducting these projects, and they are favorable balances. I just don't know what the actual numbers are off the top of my head.
I guess like the question that comes to my mind, since we are with climate change and sea level rise, these storms are predicted to become more regular. At what point does it become unsustainable to continue replenishing these dunes?
And that's really answered by the economics. When the investment in sand exceeds the return in value to all aspects of economic generation, and that's storm damage protection, but also for Delaware's case, we look at also the job stimulation, the amount of economic benefit that accrues through the tourism industry that exists primarily on the ocean coast. Certainly the Bay Coast has its fair share, but when you think about the tremendous amount of economic activity that occurs in Rehoboth Beach and Bethany Beach and Fenwick and the other oceanfront communities, it's vast. And so at the point at which the fight to hold the beaches is more expensive than the value of what comes back from having a good recreational beach opportunity, that's the point at which we have to start thinking about alternatives. And so far the numbers are very, very favorable, with the hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue that comes in through coastal tourism in the state.
So do you think that it's not going to be for a while, if it even happens, that we hit, for lack of a better term, peak dune?
It's hard in an individual year to determine whether weather is a climate change factor. We have a stormy year, we have a not so stormy year. Is this climate change? Is this weather pattern? It's very difficult from a scientific standpoint to say whether we've actually achieving the predicted changes we're expected to see. That said, we look at the economics on a pretty regular basis, but every 4 or 5 or 6 years, we've done economic analyses along our coast to determine that the benefits are still very, very high. But there will come a point when the legislature here in the state, the governor's office here in the state, is going to have to question, we can't keep up with the current schedule of every 3 years pumping Rehoboth Beach. That sand quantity, that interval in between sand pumping, is not keeping up with the need, and therefore, because of forcing, because of more storms, because of sea level rise, we see the need for more sand and maybe a diminishing return of people coming to our beaches because we have not maintained them in between. I think we're some years away from that. I couldn't tell you whether it's 10 years away or 30 years away. I think it's still down the line, but we haven't gotten to that point yet.